Okay, we'll go ahead and call the Board of Works and Safety meeting to order. It's 5:19 p.m. on Tuesday, May 26th. Roll call, please.
Daniel.
Here.
Wiegold.
Here.
Crowder.
Here.
In front of you are the minutes from our last meeting on May 12th. Were there any changes or corrections? On the second page, I noted that the singular version of Daniel, second paragraph. I think we got that fixed. Any other?
I do not.
Okay. Motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Next up is a request to install soil borings on East Market Street right-of-way. Jeff? Is that you?
I'm sorry. Where are we at?
Sorry. They're soil borings.
Oh, we had a consulting firm acting on behalf of People's Federal that sent us a request through the info general delivery. Terry forwarded it to Kelly and myself. This really is loud.
It is.
This is awesome.
Great.
You can hear me now, can't
you? I can hear you now. Yes, I can.
Anyway, People's Federal is in the process of getting ready to sell the property, and when they started researching the historic records, they found that at one point that corner had a gas station like every other corner in Columbia City, and they just want to make sure that the property is not contaminated. So they'd like to advance a couple of soil borings within the right-of-way. By the way that it looks on the map, because I asked him to depict it on the beacon site, it looks like it's in the paved area where their parking is, as opposed to out into our driving lane. But I did remind them that if this is approved, they would have to backfill with native material and then cap it with asphalt like it was. So since it's in the right-of-way, we felt like that it should come to the Board of Works for your consideration. It's pretty straightforward, and it's done well. As a matter of fact, CNR Plating just did some. I know that Pack-A-Sac has had it done. So,
okay. Questions about that?
I do not.
Okay. So are you looking for a motion to approve the request?
Please.
Okay, I will move in such a way.
A second.
Okay. Motion second. Any further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Granite Ridge subdivision issues.
I had hopes that Granite Ridge, I wanted to make sure they weren't here. Mm-hmm. I had invited Granite Ridge to attend tonight's meeting. I also informed them that a month ago now, I brought this issue to the board's attention. Based off of the subdivision condition of their soil and erosion control methods and maintenance, they are not meeting the intent of our ordinance or Rule 5 at a county level through IDEM. And so I've been working, I mean, this has been going on since middle of last year, and I believe in giving a developer every benefit of the doubt, but we've contacted them. John Goetz has contacted them. Kathy Gardner has contacted them. And it just seems like that they keep pushing it off. I had forwarded pictures to the board for consideration. The catch basin inlets were completely plugged full of mud. I mean, where it goes into the structure with mud and straw and debris. And then I know that there was a bunch of erosion in the right-of-way. And then also this subdivision drains to designated wetlands kind of to the east of the development. And every month, John Goetz provides inspection on site and then forwards the report to the developer, the county, Brandon Forrester, the city, all sorts of agencies, and highlights, you know, what's going good and what's not going so good. And there again, I've provided the board with ongoing deficiency reports for that. Now, Grant Ridge has not returned any of my inquiries, but I guess that they have provided some updates to John. I asked John to be here not only because he's contract employee for the city, but he also covers the Rule 5 side of it. So I'd be happy to turn it over to him. But prior to that, I had in my latest correspondence email to both Kathy Hartman and Lonnie Norris from Grant Ridge, I told them that I would be recommending some sort of enforcement action tonight, thinking that maybe it would step them up and know that we were serious about making remedies. So this is where we're at. And I hate to have negative publicity over this, but I don't know where we go to from here. So with that, I'll turn it over to John for his remarks.
I guess if you guys have questions based on what you're seeing on the reports that you have copies of, or major issue is that seeding hasn't been done since last summer, last fall, when they got things completed, and because there's no seed on the ground, there's erosion, and sediments are collecting in the wetlands, which would be a huge issue for IDEM if they happen to send an inspector up to the site. I'm not anticipating that, but that would be a big issue for them.
Well, I guess we've given ample opportunities to take remedy of the situation. So what is our next step? Oh, that's right there. We just got it.
Yeah, I think to me, obviously, the erosion control methods that aren't being followed are probably what's causing a lot of this. Obviously, the catch basins being plugged and other things to that effect. So I think that's one of the first things that needs to be addressed, especially when, as we go further into summer, it's going to be harder to grow grass with less rain and hotter temperatures. It seems like this would be a perfect period to be planting seed, and it's not occurring. I also have some major issues with the fact that the inlets are plugged with mud, and ultimately that mud will go, I'm assuming, down to the retention area, the water retention area there, I would assume.
Yeah.
So again, that's going to plug both ends of that pipe, I would assume, and I fully think that needs to be cleaned out. I mean, not only the face of it, but in the pipe itself, I'd want to see that cleaned out on both ends.
Well, according to the ordinance, we can impose up to $2,500 per violation per day, and put a stop work order may be posted if the erosion sediment control plan is not being implemented in good faith. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we've got quite a bit of options here.
Yeah.
Marcia, just a question. Have you been engaged directly or indirectly with the Granite Ridge at all, or you've just been working with Jeff?
No. I've just been working with Jeff, and then I wanted to supply you with what Dan was just reading off of there, sort of what you've got a lot of opportunities under the ordinance for a variety of enforcement mechanisms here, you know. So at that point, if whatever you decide to do, Jeff and I would work together to take care of that, unless it falls under item, and John would, I guess, talk to them about that. I don't know how that works with them.
If IDEM, they have a regional stormwater inspector, and you know, she's pretty busy. She hasn't inspected our area recently, as far as I'm aware, but she would have authorities as far as the Rule 5 violations if she came and saw what was going on. I'm sure she'd take some kind of action.
So, question, in our City Code of Ordinances under Chapter 56, so the person may appeal a notice of violation to the Board of Works. Have we provided such notice of violation?
I would have to defer to legal. I don't know if these deficiency inspection reports, because these clearly state that it's not our the erosion control plan that was approved through the Planning Commission, it clearly states that it's not being done correctly. But I don't know if that would...
Well, the ordinance that says how to do the notice.
Okay.
So I can't answer that, but I mean...
So I guess the question I have regarding that is, if we've not given the notice of violation, obviously I think that's the first step, but I guess along with that, do we need to provide basically a penalty in there that says if you don't do this, this will happen?
Yes.
Because to me, if we're going to discuss this and figure this out tonight, I think we need to figure out basically the full package and then see what they come back with.
It should include the violation.
It should include the violation.
It should include
okay.
the penalty or violation or abatement, whatever route that you're going to take or combination. The notice needs to include that and should reference the code of ordinance section that applies.
John, have you been out past the property lately?
I was out last Thursday
okay.
and did another inspection report. And I sent the inspection reports out by email late Friday. So.
And the only reason I say that, I did notice a straw baler blower out there over the holiday weekend. Don't know if it was related to a resident location, you know, of their own property, or it was related to the subdivision. So I was just curious when the last time we actually got a true snapshot.
Yeah, it would have been Thursday, would have been the last time I'd been out there.
Okay.
That report was emailed to you guys this morning, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Sometime.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, again, it could just been an isolated thing that I observed it. So.
Yeah, when I was out there Thursday, one of the homes, they had graded around one of the homes and like they were getting ready to do some seeding around one of the homes, but I don't.
Okay.
Like you say, I don't know whether it was just that area or if it was a larger area.
I understand. Well, again, I concur that we need to take the next step and engage what our options are. Jeff, I know you've done your due diligence for several months, and same for you, John. And again, maybe IDEM needs to be involved with the city at the same time, with two different agencies involved. I think that's a good partnership of addressing the issue from two different perspectives, one from an ordinance violation, two from an IDEM violation. I don't know how to engage your side of the house, John, but maybe we can work together.
I'd certainly contact the district representative from IDEM if we want to bring her in to take a look at the situation and see what her thoughts are, what her
My feeling is this is a bigger picture than just that subdivision at this point, since there's wetlands involved. And I think we need to make sure that we look at the whole package, something that's not going to come back to haunt us down the road of not doing the things up front. So, especially when there's drainage of wetlands and other people involved or other properties.
So Marcia, in that regard, should we do those things concurrently where we contact IDEM, but at the same time we send our notice of violation with the, I guess for lack of words, the penalties?
I think in listening to John, I mean, I think it's unlikely that she may even have time to come out. I mean, I think the city needs to just stay its course and do what it needs to do and not worry about IDEM.
Okay.
And John can contact her, but I don't think you need to, I don't think this board, if you want to, you know, abate the nuisance and fine them or whatever you're planning to do, I think I would proceed and do that. I think Jeff feels that they've been given sufficient time to correct the problem.
Yes.
And maybe let me adjust my comment. I guess maybe we can't. I don't want us to wait on them and vice versa. I think it's important that we communicate with them so they know what we are doing in regards to going forward. And maybe IDEM may be encouraged by that to join in. But again, it's to their discretion. But I don't want to. I think it's important to communicate. So.
So I see two things personally, I think I've already said it, but I'll reiterate them. Two things I want to see done. I want to see the clean out of the storm pipe on both ends of the pipe. That means that they can hire our street department to do that, I think, to a certain extent, at the rate that we would charge based on the rates and charges table. or they can hire a private contractor with that. I would also like to see that area seeded and strawed post-haste. So those are the two things that I would suggest, and I would even be open to finding, I don't know, just going to throw a number out, up to $500 per violation per day after the, it's usually a 10-day notice period, I think, but after that.
Yeah, because we'd have to sign it as a violation of public nuisance, according to the...
I mean, I guess it depends on which one we want to take it. If we want to take it as the stormwater, the collection system, I don't...
I think that sounds appropriate.
To me, I mean, I think that's, you know, we... The subdivision ordinance addresses this, correct? Yeah.
The erosion control plan had to be presented for approval at the plant commission. Right. So yes, it's
so the fact that the erosion and sediment control plan is not being followed. I mean, we could do a stop work order after 10 days if that's what you want to do. I don't know if that'll really do anything for Granite Ridge. It may do things for the property, the people that are buying properties there, I would assume.
Yeah, at this point, Kathy told me that there's no pending improvement permits, but that doesn't mean that, you know, somebody doesn't come and buy a lot from Granite Ridge tomorrow and want to start the improvement of it.
Which is why I think probably the financial fine is probably makes more sense in this case right now to kind of expedite the process.
Mayor, I think I would encourage to take one step farther is to do the fine and give them a time period. If it's not done within this time period, then permits would be held.
Okay.
Because I think they need to know that we're serious about this.
Okay. So a fine plus a stop work order?
After a certain duration of time. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because we've given them plenty of notice. Yes, I agree.
Okay. Do you have a suggestion on what that fine would be?
I need to confirm what is, it says per violations, what is the number of violations that's in right at the moment? Is it one?
Well, I mean, you've got two subdivisions that we're having problems with. Both are still showing deficiencies. I'd have to ask legal if each one of those is a violation or if it's every item under, I mean, because you're looking at...
Yeah, I'm looking for clarification.
Yeah, and I don't
know. To make a decision.
You follow what he's asking?
Yeah, I mean, the permits are for each subdivision, correct?
Right.
So clearly that's two separate. If there's violations under both and seedings under one and seedings under the other, that's a problem. Those are two separate violations.
Then I would say that there's two.
And then the clean out of the storm pipe is a violation of the illicit discharge. Is that correct? Or what does it fall under?
It's the same sediment control plan.
Okay,
yeah,
so it's sediment
plan.
Control plan.
Yeah.
So it's a violation of the plan that was put in place that they signed on to, right? So and that's, is that a violation? Are both of them, both subdivisions failing to do that?
Yeah, both subdivisions have failed to follow the
okay.
approved erosion control plan.
Okay, so that'd be, right now you got four violations. Mm-hmm. I mean, correct? I mean, that's seeding.
Catch basin.
Well, that's what I asked, because the seeding and the, well, is the seeding under the erosion control or the plant commission side of it? It's the subdivision ordinance, isn't it?
Yeah, the erosion control falls under the illicit discharge ordinance.
Okay. Seeding would be part of the subdivision ordinance, which is completely separate then.
So basically, say if we reset it at a 10-day period, then it starts to add. That'd be a $2,000 a day. Because it's
I see what
violations.
You're saying. 500 per violation. Gotcha. I see what you're saying. Well, I mean, in that 10-day period, they certainly could come back and actually come to the Board of Works meeting and say, hey, here's what we're going to do. Give us an extension, and then we can have a discussion about that. I'm not saying we would grant it. But I think their lack of presence here tonight, to me, tells me that they don't believe we're serious about this.
Right.
So,
So I don't have, honestly, I don't have a problem setting up 10 days, and if they can't comply with that, we give them plenty of time. We send it out.
Right. So
and under Mayor, just really quick, under the erosion control portion, our ordinance actually sets it up with if within 5 days after notification, if they do not comply with the erosion and sediment control plan, the city shall revoke the permit.
Ah.
So it's got a 5 day in there. You can extend it, of course.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
Okay. So are they to clarify, is one 10 days and one 5 days in the violations we're at?
The abatement process, the I guess the violation of our city ordinances, I guess, would be the 10 day. I think it's 10 days, but the erosion control is 5 days, as I understand it. But as a point of clarification, I don't mean to skip over your question.
Nope, you're fine.
As a point of clarification, on the Chesapeake Landing Section 3, Sean, under the sediment controls, it says electric utility work destroyed most of the silt fence. Did we get that replaced?
Yeah.
I thought we did.
All repairs.
Okay, thank you. I just want to make sure that that's on the record since the document we have doesn't state that.
And, you know, I can get with Jeff and John, too, to confirm which part of the ordinance these things fall under, because I'm sort of looking to you to see which part. I mean, I don't know, the seeding seems to me to be an erosion control, so that seems like it comes under erosion control, but does the catch basin portion come under erosion control as well, or? Is that what you're indicating?
It would be an illicit discharge to the storm sewer.
So. Okay, so it comes over here. See, that's part of it. There's two separate sections.
Yeah, I see. You know, the report that we have all says on-site evaluation of erosion sediment control. That's why I guess I was under the impression it all fit under the same thing. But if it's fitting under two different sections, then obviously we have two different procedures there. So are we all in agreement that the clean out of the storm pipe on both ends is what is one of the two things we need to address, as well as the second thing being the grass or the seeding and drawing?
Until the grass and seeding is really in place, we're going to be right back in the same boat we was. If we haven't, to me there's step one and step two. One is to get the erosion under control so it's not hitting the drains. At the same time, they almost run parallel. After thinking about it before, you can open up both ends. So I think it's all inclusive. I think they have to do both. They have to protect the drain, whatever method they need to protect it as the grass grows, so that if there is runoff, it's not running down the sewer line.
I mean, it looks like they
are wetland.
Tried to protect it with sandbags, but
sandbags are in the hole.
Well, but that's the thing is, when you've been sitting there for half a year, it's going to be pushed into the hole, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the key thing with the erosion control measures is you don't put them in place and then just walk away and forget about them. You have to maintain them.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So.
My feeling is I think you're parsing this too much. I mean, it all comes under the illicit discharge. So all you need to do is let me know. What it is you want them to do, what the time frame is, and whether you're going to fine them after that period of time if they don't do it, and is the city going to abate and then charge them for that if they also don't do it? Are there going to be a combination?
Okay. So I threw out the idea of $500 per violation per day after a 10-day period. If you want to change that, I'm open to amendments.
Again, I just think you need to not cap it, okay, at $500 a day. I think it needs to be a progressive if they continue not to respond. So is there some way that you can word that, Marcia, that...
So like after the second week, it jumps to $1,000 a day per violation?
Again, I just think you don't want to cap yourself. I welcome, again, I welcome for them just to come and talk to us.
I would too, Walt.
Yeah. And unfortunately, you know, we have to do what we have to do.
But you guys are okay with a 10-day period rather than a 5-day period?
I'm okay with that.
I agree.
Okay. I'm just thinking from a corporate standpoint.
Well, and plus, if it falls under two different sections, that makes it easier.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. So do you have enough?
I think so. I mean, but I guess my final question, are you going to evade that? I mean, are you going to, because if you're $1,000 a day, but if you evade, you're going to take care of the situation and then bill them for the city's work.
Okay. So 10, just for the record, 10 days from today, or that's the 6th, which is a Saturday. So then, I mean, I would say if by the 9th, which is our next meeting, if they're showing no progress, that will be 2 days worth at least, actually. Do we count working days or full calendar days on the
calendar?
It's full calendar days. That's what I thought. Okay, so if they've not fixed it by the 6th, they will, by Tuesday's meeting, the 9th, there'll be 3 days worth of violations at that point. I think we address it at that point, and we say, you know, if we decide at that point they still don't look like they care, then I think we figure out the next step is when do we choose to abate ourselves and charge them. And I guess the question I would have then is usually when we abate a situation like that, we put a lien on the property, right?
They don't pay.
If they don't pay, well, I guess that's my question is if they don't pay it, which I think they will. I think they'll get this addressed. But if they don't pay it, where does that lien get placed, Marcia? If they don't pay the of our abate. And I know I'm taking this 3 or 4 steps forward that we're not there yet.
I'd have to look into
it. I'm just curious,
obviously,
because with a homeowner,
right,
it's different,
right,
than a...
Right. I'm not sure we have a lien process,
okay,
on that. So I'll have to look into that, because it's not your typical...
Yeah.
Jeff, is there any money set aside in escrow on this subdivision?
As far as a...
Like
a warranty bond or performance bond. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Do you know offhand, Rosie?
No, but I would have thought they would have had a bond when they did the subdivision.
They did,
but planning.
But after the improvements have, this is all under warranty now.
Oh, okay.
Because they came last summer and everybody here signed off.
Before the issues.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So all the improvements have been made. It's just, mm-hmm, yeah.
So are we kind of all in agreement that on at our next meeting on June 9th that we'll review the situation, and if there's really no progress happening, then we'll make a decision on whether or not the city abates at that point, or when the city would abate if things have not taken place?
Just to clarify.
Yes.
We're going to go ahead and start the process, and they have until next Board of Works meeting. If nothing has happened, then it automatically will engage the abatement ourselves. I mean, we're not going to go back and...
No. What I'm saying is if we give them 10 days from today, that'll end up being the 6th of June. Then at our next meeting, which is the 9th, so they'll have 3 full days, basically, of fining. If there's still no progress at that point, we set a date for when the city will abate the situation.
Ourselves.
Yes.
But the notification, all that stuff,
will
start immediately.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And you're figuring enough time to get the letter done and notified?
It has to be
certified. Oh, I see what you're saying. Well, then even if it's 10 days from there.
Certified.
I mean, even if we push that back for 10 days, then it's still, I mean, we're still going
to
have, the end of the 10 days is going to happen by that 9th. Is it from the time they certify?
10 days from the day they sign.
The sign on the
actually,
letter.
Actually, it's 10 days from the date of the notice.
Oh, it's from the notice.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
What if they don't?
Yeah,
sign it?
I know. I think that's. But that's what it says. But I think we should go 10 days from the date of receipt.
From the date of receipt.
Personally,
okay.
But.
Okay, but I still think at this point, you know, we should still have some information by our next meeting of whether or not they've. I mean, they would have taken receipt 10 days prior to the 9th.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
I'm good with that.
Good.
Marcia, do you have enough information?
I think so.
Okay.
And when does the when's the fine start?
After the 10th day.
The
10th? Yeah.
Okay.
$500 a day per violation.
Okay.
Yes. Any wall?
Got it.
Yes.
Is there two different things going on then? Are they going to have an opportunity to seed what needs to be seeded before the pipe cleaning takes place?
That's
and hard. Get established? Because that seems like the grass needs to be established before you clean any of the pipes. And
yes, totally agree with the process. And again, they have to maybe come back and do some due diligence themselves. Again, there's a lot of speculation. But I agree with you, we need to get it stable before we clean it out, or we'll be back cleaning it out again. So, yeah.
So are we, okay, I'm sorry. So are we staggering those two then?
I think they both need to be identified right up front. I think the process maybe be a little bit early to understand which goes first, which goes second.
Okay.
But no matter what, I think the grass and the protection of the inlets need to be protected and maintained.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
Until they have a chance to grow,
I'm okay with that. Yep.
That could take a while to get the grass established. I mean, that's why I was saying I didn't know what the time frame would be for that.
I think right now we'll put that ball in their court and see what they come back with.
Marcia, do you need a motion on all this?
Yes.
So moved. No. I make a motion that we send the notice of violation to Granite Ridge addressing both seeding and strawing of currently unseeded areas and the clean out of the storm pipe on both ends, along with the protection of the inlets themselves. With a violation after 10 days of $500 per violation per day. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, thank you.
See if you're finished.
Okay, no, I think I'm finished. A motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Thank you, John.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. Okay. Next up, street closing permit for the Whitley County Autumn Arts Festival. You want me to delay that again?
Yeah, you and I haven't had a chance to talk.
Okay. Okay, so we'll delay that
again. I figure if I table it long enough, you guys are going to forget about it.
Street closing permit for the Cops and Robbers 5K. Anybody? Oh, Tim? Okay, I didn't know if you were doing that.
I am.
Okay.
I'm requesting the 100 block of South Chauncey, the 100 block of West Van Buren, shut off from 0700 to 1200 on that day. There's a company from Warsaw coming to set up start-finish line, chip timing, things like that. The rest of the area we will take care of with traffic direction with police officers. This 5K is a fundraiser to raise funds for possibly a new canine program and also our car seat program, where we offer car seats to individuals that can't afford them, and then we install them properly in their vehicles for them. This race will be similar to the zombie race that was in the fall.
Okay. Questions regarding the request?
Tim, did you... You didn't say anything about the Market Street.
Oh, they are requesting that we, on Market Street, between Main and Chauncey, that we close off the north side of that to allow runners to come down Market Street. So it wouldn't be the entire street, so fire trucks would still be able to use that eastbound lane of Market Street. But that would just be for a short time.
And they said they wouldn't interfere with the farmer's market. They'd be on the outside of that.
Because the farmer's market, people would already be there in the morning and be set up.
Right.
So they would already be in place. We would just put cones out. So they would still be able to come and go from those farmer's market spots there on the south side of the courthouse.
Okay. Well, there's has Main Street been notified about this? It's not marked, so.
No.
Okay.
Unless Jeff did, I didn't.
Okay. So I think I personally don't mind approving it, but I do want to see communication with both the Main Street organization as well as the Farmers Market to make sure everybody's informed.
I guess I just don't know who I'm sending it to anymore.
Who? What? The Main Street? Laura Rich Creek is the president now.
See, I've sent everything to Leanne.
Yeah.
So I don't send it. Do you have an email for her or something? Or?
Laura?
Yeah, I can provide that.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, Chris Elwood.
Huh?
You can send the for Farmer's Market for Chris Elwood. It can go to
no,
Chris Elwood.
No, it is either. So it's
okay. I may have that. So. Or Jennifer. Sorry, Jennifer.
Better if it went to the Chamber of Commerce.
Okay. Thanks, Jennifer. Sorry about that.
For the Farmer's Market.
Okay.
Since there's now a board.
Yes.
Right.
Which, by the way, has been sorely needed for a while, so I'm yes. glad that they've taken that up. I mean, there was one, but quasi. So, okay. What wrench are you going to throw into this plan here, Tom?
I'm not throwing a wrench. I just want to be duly noted that that's changed since I signed this.
Okay.
I'm not opposed to that as long as I just want to make sure that we never get to the point where I can't get out and attempt to address that.
Yeah.
I've always been a big opponent of closing Market Street because it was a vital artery for
right.
us.
Right.
As well as that. But with, given that the ability to make exit there, I would like to think that I'd be okay with it.
Yeah, the first request was to close that block of Market Street. And I knew that Tom would have an issue with that, so that's why we said let's just do half.
Okay.
So I just want to make sure I get yeah. noted that why I.
Roger. Yeah. Okay. Any other issues with it? Then I will make a motion that we approve the Cops and Robbers 5K on July 25th, as presented, with the request that we notify both the Main Street organization as well as the Farmers Market. Regarding the event.
Second.
Motion second. Any further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Okay. Next up, the water tower service agreement information, quotes, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead, Mike.
And we have a representative from Leary here to
Hello.
Explain it.
Hi there.
Go ahead. Good. If you could please state your name and company you work for and all that good stuff.
Rick Jessup with the Leary Construction Company. We're out of Greenfield, Indiana.
Okay.
Exactly 119 miles from the door to here. We're an old line tank company. We're family owned, have been since the day we started in 1937. The grandson just runs it now. Same family. We run 4 to 5 crews. We don't use any subs. We do everything local or in-house. I know I've been dealing with Mike for a while. I know what you went through, and I just want to let you know that you're not the only town. There's a ton of them that went after the other company. But I've got proposals for 10-year maintenance contracts. We've changed a bunch of stuff in them for that Mike and I went over that you guys wanted to see in there. And you guys can cancel it within 90 days written notice at any time before the next annual payment's due. I've got the exterior and the interior if needed on the north tank in the first year, the exterior on the east tank, or the west tank?
I think it's the south tank.
South tank, yeah. And then the east tank's the million, and that one in the third year. And then, of course, the paints nowadays are good for about 7 to 9 years, so at the end of the contract, at least a couple of them is going to get painted on the outside again, just so the tanks are looking nice and everybody's happy and we're all good, and then we'll start negotiating the next contract about 6 months prior. Contract states the price can't go up on you in that 10 years. At the end of the 10 years, it can't go up or down 15% from what you're paying for what you paid for the first 10 years. Now, do you all have any questions for me?
Marsha, I know you've been working on this with Mike. Anything specific you'd like to point out that's important to know?
Well, The only thing I had was that one additional, the termination language that I sent. Mike, I'm assuming you provided that.
I sent it to him, too.
Okay. And Mayor, I think you've seen that. Just when I copied, I don't know. I thought it was a little bit more. It was clearer and a little bit more specific.
Only thing I'm not doing here is protecting myself. You guys are protecting. I'm doing everything I can to protect the town. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to come in here and do about $300,000 worth of work in the first 3 years. Mm-hmm. Betting on you to pay me for the whole 10 years.
Right.
So I've made every change that has protected you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I want to make sure it's understood. That's appreciated. That really is appreciated. Obviously, we're a little snake bitten.
I understand.
So we're a little cautious about this next one.
I understand.
I think in general, what... Marcia, please help me. I apologize. The termination language, was that which one was that regarding? Because I thought we had talked about a couple of different things.
It was if you look at page 2, it starts with either party will have the right to terminate without penalty if written notice is given 90 days prior to start for new year of contract. And I had just all I had said was prior to January 1st of any year of the contract. In the event Larry has not performed any work in the year in which termination notice is provided, the city shall be entitled to refund of their annual payment for such year in which no work was performed. Again, once bitten,
I understand.
And then I had, in the event of disagreement which leads to litigation, the prevailing party shall be entitled to attorney's fees and costs. So that's all I had put out for consideration. It's up to you as a Board of Works if you're fine with the language that is in here. I just, obviously, my job is to...
The January 1st, though, actually the contract will start whenever we sign.
The earliest it can start would be tonight.
So it would be, termination would be 90 days before next year at this time.
And that's fine. You just change the date.
Yeah.
It's the substantive portion of that that's important. But, again, they did add this part right here. I mean, this portion, that they definitely... Because I had requested something, they added the either party. And if you're fine with that, it's fine. Yeah. I just,
Yeah, I gotcha. I understand. I think obviously one of the issues we had with the previous company was that we consistently paid for something that I don't feel like we've really got. We really got a return on our investment. From Leary's standpoint in this, I can see where you're saying, well, we're kind of making all the investment up front.
Yeah.
Is that a fair comment?
Yeah.
And frankly, from the this side of the contract, I like that. I like that you're doing the work up front, and that we're paying you, kind of going forward.
I'm going to do everything I say I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I mean, these things are built on trust, and you're going to deal with me. I'm underneath the owner. I mean, you talk to me, or I'm his right-hand man.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that there's not going to be a year we get busy and we're struggling to get here that I don't call or talk to Mike or say, hey, I'm running a little behind. Why don't you just wait till I come this next year before you make your next payment?
Mm-hmm.
Things happen. But this is my schedule that I've got, and I'm going to do my best to hold to it.
Yeah.
You're going to know in the first year I've done enough work to make your next payment. Because, a $500,000 going rate's about $125,000 in and out.
Yeah.
$100,000 to $125,000, so I mean.
Well, I think, I think there's a... I hate to sound like I'm pandering because I'm not, but I think there's a difference between working with a Hoosier-owned company and working with a company from... a different region of the United States. I mean, I think...
Well, that's a French-owned company.
Well, yeah.
And they're getting ready to buy one of the other biggest companies. They're getting ready to buy Caldwell out, I just heard today. So.
So I think there's a difference there. Plus, we know where you guys are. No, you said, 119
miles? 119 miles. I mean, I can at least get there and take some pictures for you.
So I was going to say, so it's not as much for me and Mike to get in the car and come down and rip you a new one if you've been too bad. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. So to me, I'm...
Just a, in a previous language, it mentioned about response time, travel time, mm-hmm. and all that.
And we stated that in there. Any emergency repairs would be emergency response time will be within 48 hours.
48 hours. Okay, because mm-hmm. I wanted to clarify that.
You most time, unless somebody shoots a hole in your tank because you shut their water off and they're mad, which we come and fix it, no additional charge, mind you.
Okay.
Most times these tanks are going to leak. They're going to leak in the middle of winter, and we're down south, so we got to put 48 hours in there to get back up here.
Sure.
Because we work South Carolina, Georgia, Northern Florida, and Alabama in the wintertime. So that's why we put 48 hours. But if I'm in town or the boss is in town, we'll get right up here the next day.
Mike, I know you mentioned you had some tower. Again, I don't know if it's one or more, but there's no internal ladder.
Yeah. How, in the south tower.
Okay. Is that something that you are not prepared, but is that something we need to add long term, or is that something just part of the nature of your business?
They don't. The thing about it is the ladder's up here because the ice gets up in there.
Okay.
And in the winter time, the water moves up and down. It tears them ladders out.
Okay.
So a lot of times this far north, when they build them, they don't even put those ladders in there for that reason. That's why there's no ladder in there.
Right. Because
that's a fairly new tank.
But the thing about it was what I was complaining about the other right. company. They'd been here 5-7 years. I don't know how long. They knew there wasn't a ladder in that, and they send a crew up to inspect it, and they can't inspect it because they don't have a ladder.
Right.
You know, you ought to have that documented at this tower, what you need to do the work. Yeah.
Just a question, the tower out east, how long does that go before?
It's ours next year.
December? Okay.
And Mike and I had talked, to address that, Mike and I had talked about that. We put that off till the third year on the painting schedule because we understood that you might want to put Columbia City on there. And I told him that there's really no additional cost to these maintenance contracts other than if you decide you want to put a big logo on there and change that.
Yeah, I got you.
If it's something simple, I'll do my best to get it thrown in there. If it's going to be big, they normally run $3,000 to $5,000 for a logo. So, but I mean, that's really the only additional cost that you have, and lead abatement or you know, shrouding. But none of yours need that.
That's all I have, man.
Okay. Dan?
Good.
Okay. So, regarding what Marcia said, how do you feel about that? Do you feel confident in this, or do you want to have, you know, some of those, I guess, minor, I think she called them minor tweaks, inserted, or work with the company on that?
I believe this is the final proposal, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's the way I mm-hmm. interpret, okay. Mm-hmm. I'm very comfortable with the adjustments that have been made. I look at this that we do technically have two bids, the one that's in place today, mm-hmm. okay, or obviously this opportunity here. So the due diligence as we have, we're comparing mm-hmm. with what we've had, where we're going, so.
Actually, I agree with Walter on that one as well.
Okay. Very agreeable tonight, Dave.
Agreeable.
We still need that certificate of insurance with us as a additional insured.
As soon as they're signed, you'll get it with the invoice.
Okay.
So the question is once, if we elect to approve the mm-hmm. process of termination of the old, is that all? That's already been acknowledged.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Someone?
I make a motion that we go with the Leary Construction proposals as presented on our 10-year plan for our water towers of the City of Columbia City. Again, as presented.
Second. I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Mike, you have anything else to say? Anything else to say? Okay. All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous.
Do you have a good copy? Did you bring a copy with you?
Absolutely have a fresh copy right here.
Great.
I will have them send up a send up a, as soon as I have the signed contract, I'll have them send up the, have the insurance company put you guys listed on the,
okay,
on the insurance certificate.
As additionally insured. Do we need, how are we going to, do I, is that a me signature? Is it an us signature?
Just you.
It's a me? Okay. 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 Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thanks for your work on this.
Thank you.
Mike, good job. Good job. Bills.
I was questioning the total amount down here because when we have the
yeah.
grand totals, we need to separate the liquidated and the
yeah.
expense.
Do you have a final version of those bills? We have the itemized, but we don't have the upfront one. Is that the number you had?
Yeah. I'll make a motion. We pay the bills as presented in the amount of $1,877,068.74.
I'll second. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Department heads, Board of Works issues.
I've just got one question. It kind of goes back to the tank contract, the previous one. Has the board considered any opportunities for going after that other company for breach of contract, or are you just going to chalk it up to a teachable moment?
I think my suggestion is we still need to review what our options are with that.
I was under the impression, and Marcia, correct me if I'm wrong, I was under the impression that we may have kind of a weak case to go to breach of contract on the utility services people.
No, I wasn't asked to review that yet, so I would have to go back and look at the contract.
Okay.
And see.
I think it probably would be helpful to
sure.
do that.
Sure, I can take a look at it and see.
Okay. Okay. Anything else for the board? Okay. I'm going to introduce Ethan Tinsley and Emily Temple from my youth council. Do you guys want to do a joint, just an overview of the year really quick since we're at the end of the year now? And anything? So I know I'm making you really go backwards in your mind. You want to talk about the service project you guys did on last Wednesday?
Yeah, last Wednesday we went to the Lilly County Historical Museum and they did some landscaping around there.
Yep. Then we had kind of a fun end of year celebration and got some food and did some laser tag, and we tried to do something fun at the end of the year after the hard work of Halloween parade organization and different service projects, going to different nonprofit groups and doing all that kind of stuff. So thank you. That's your warning that I'm expecting you to give something at council. Okay. Marcia?
Nothing.
Rosie?
Nothing.
Walter?
From the board and safety, yesterday's event here in town, I want to say all the professionalism that was displayed and acted upon, and the main thing, the safety of the citizens of Columbia City. I want to say thank you to the police and fire department and all other entities involved. I was here with you in a different role, but again, I just want to assure you I'm very proud of the things that we did, and the main thing, safety was number one priority of others, and just again, thank you very much.
Thank you. I don't think I have that much. I will let you know. I am also obviously very proud of what happened yesterday, the actions that were taken by all of our public safety officials, police and fire and dispatch. I came in about 6-ish, stayed till about 9, and it was almost like clockwork. It's almost like they do this every week, and it just was really impressive of what they did. Obviously, we're glad that no one appears to have been injured. Obviously, it appears to have been, I guess, a hoax of some sort, but while that's really frustrating, we are glad that nobody was injured and hurt in that situation. So, rather it be a hoax and us go through that process than us not and pay the price. So, Dan.
I have nothing.
Public. And media. Okay. Meeting is adjourned.